Welcome to the Finishing School Podcast, a discussion with and for women about identity, transitions through life stages, how to figure out who you want to be when you grow up, and all the things we didn't learn about in school. In short, it's a sometimes spiritual, sometimes silly look at how to be a grown woman. Whether you're becoming a mom for the first time or about to be an empty nester, modern womanhood and motherhood is complex, and the questions and conflicts we face with shifting roles and desires are many. Don't have your midlife crisis alone. Join me. I'm your host, Jessica Euler, and I'm stewarding this conversation on the brink of asking many of these questions in my own life. As my kids get older, my role as a mother changes, and as I have more time to reflect on who I am in the world, I'm surrounded by friends in the same boat. And I know if we're talking about these issues, odds are you are too. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Where are you, voice?
I'm going to make sure I'm not bumping the table.
Oh, for the love.
I wonder if there's some
here.
Yeah, why isn't everybody sitting there?
Let's see.
We need to call Stephanie Spiro's son.
I know.
Hello. Bum, bum, bum. But why is that thing going?
I know.
Oh, look at that.
Wait. Oh. Yeah, you can hear us. We know you can hear us. We know
you're not talking hard enough.
Wait, look,
high enough.
I did something and it's
okay.
It's working.
I
think it's working.
Did you press something?
I changed this input right here.
Wait.
Maybe it's working.
Video.
Okay. Well, we're testing this out.
I don't see
the thingies bumping.
No thingies bumping.
Oh, we're on.
We figured it all out.
We did.
We're ready.
Today is the first episode.
First episode of the Finishing School Podcast.
This is so exciting, Jess.
Very exciting.
I guess, should we introduce ourselves?
Oh, yeah, we should.
We're pros. Do not do this unless you have a lot of experience like us. We know exactly what we're doing. We didn't have any mic problems either.
We have not been sitting here an hour trying to figure out this mic.
No, okay. Of course not, because that would be a total newbie move. We're pros.
You know what? I think lesson number one of this podcast is start it before you're ready.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel like that's true about everything in life for the most part. When are you ever ready? Like, when do you have it all figured out? And you don't. You just have to go.
If you pretend like you do, you're a liar.
Yeah, for sure. But how you figure it out is by, like, doing it.
I agree.
So we're figuring it out.
So kudos, Jess, for launching your podcast.
Yay!
This has been in your imagination for how long now?
Oh, probably almost a year. It's just been swirling around there.
Yeah.
So
I'm curious to know what...
Wait, we forgot to introduce ourselves again.
Right.
Okay, well, tell everybody who you are.
Okay. Hi, guys. My name is Linda Lopez. I come to this podcast by way of a very circuitous professional route. I started my career in public policy advocacy, and then I had this, some people call it an entrepreneurial seizure, and I was like, I want to do interior design. I've always wanted to do it. And so I just launched a business about 4 years ago, and that's taken me down this amazing journey of meeting really cool people like you, Jess, and following my creative impulses and also feeling called to do something bigger. And so now I do a lot of business coaching for other purpose-driven businesses.
Yeah.
I still have my hand in doing design projects, and we'll see where it goes next. So
yeah.
Is that a good intro?
That's a great intro. I feel like there's so much more I could say about you. Like, you are a great coach. You've helped me so much. You are, I would say, I don't know, that word coach just doesn't really do you justice.
I know.
Because
it's an imperfect word.
It's all about, like, you are an empowerer.
Oh,
that really rolled off
you.
The tongue. But, yeah,
I love
how you just approach, not problems, but I love how you approach big questions.
Mm.
And you're really into helping people find what resonates with them, what feels true, what feels like the right next thing. And you're just a great encourager.
Oh, thanks.
You've been a good encourager to me.
Well, I'm so excited for this because this came out of our last conversation in our coaching call, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where I was like, let's just do it. I think you're ready.
Yeah.
And you've been sitting on this for a minute, and you've been really passionate about creating this space for women and in all phases of life. And So, do you want to do an intro? This is,
yeah.
So
okay. I'll share a little bit. So yeah. Hi everybody. If you don't know me, I'm Jessica Euler. I am a photographer. That has been my primary business the last, little while, 6, 7, 8 years, very part-time. And I don't like where this is going. Anyway, I am a photographer and I am in a new season of life right now where all of my kids are in school for the first time. Mm. And that just started last year. So I find myself in just having a lot of questions about what's next. And as I have these conversations with like all of my best friends, these are the conversations we have, like, okay, our kids are in school. We want to catch our breath, take a break. Like a lot of us have been primarily choosing to stay home and motherhood has taken up a lot of our time and energy. And some of us have worked a little bit. Some of us haven't. Some of us have like left careers before having kids. Some of us never really found that career that we were like, this is what I'm all about. This is my gift. This is where I'm passionate. So it's really interesting navigating these waters a little bit later in life. And I mean, there's a million studies and, you know, about re-entering the workforce and like how it's really challenging and the different factors that come into play as a woman. And so I guess I really want to talk about all the issues around identity. And how do you figure out what's next if you have maybe taken time off or you're making a pivot or just looking ahead to like, okay, this is the next season of life. And for me, you know, I still have 4 children at home, ages 7 to 18, and I'm still very engaged and needed as a mom and in running my household. And I want to put energy there. That's really important to me to create a culture in our home that is very intentional. You know, we have dinner every night together. My kids are really busy with activities and, you know, so it's not like that season of my life is totally done. And that adds different concerns and constraints to figuring out how to move forward.
Yeah.
With work. It's not just, okay, I have all this freedom and I can just do whatever I want. You know, obviously there's different desires as well as, that was a burp.
This is a real podcast.
I just burped.
In a real moment.
So.
Yeah.
So
this community, the finishing school, is about cultivating that conversation. And like you said, you know, it's asking the big questions and allowing people an opportunity to wrestle with them together. Is that kind of what it's about?
Yeah. Well, I think there's just not a lot of spaces where women, at least that I've found, where women are talking about this transition. We kind of know what empty nest looks like and we have language around that. We sort of know like what that season of life is supposed to be or what you're supposed to feel or what you might feel. But when you're used to being home with kids and then all your kids are in school, we don't really have a word or any language to describe that transition. And it's a really huge transition. It's like a first empty nest in a way. And so, yeah, I want it to be a safe space to just discuss lots of different experiences from hopefully a diverse group of women and talk about, you know, some of the questions that we're asking, maybe some of the solutions that we find, if we find any. I certainly don't have all the answers for sure, but I think that there's just something to be said for having the conversation and knowing that you're not alone and that there's tons of women wrestling with this, you know, this season and all the questions that come up and, that we can do it together and we can be a support. And I want it to be a place where we can like, you know, have, resources for each other.
Well, I'm curious, can you tell me a little bit about the name, The Finishing School, where that came from?
Okay. Yeah. Well, so, you know, it's kind of a, I would say like a mid-century ideal of having a woman or like a girl go to finishing school instead of a formal education where she would like learn all of the things that she needed to run a household and how to you know, have like the proper manners and the proper etiquette and how to do all of the domestic things. And that seems like a really outdated, you know, ideal in our day and age. But what's interesting is I had a really good friend. We were like raising our kids together, you know, in the trenches with young kids. And we would just joke that, like, we graduated with this academic success and, you know, here we were women in the world and felt very competent. And then once we had kids and, like, chose to make our homes and invest there, we did not know what we were doing. And where were we supposed to learn, like, how to go grocery shopping, how to meal plan, how to just do so many things that we, I think, you know, I think one of the things that kind of the feminism of the 80s and 90s did was it kind of cast a shadow on domestic life. And so it wasn't really popular to
valued.
It wasn't valued. Like, making a home was not valued. That wasn't really seen as important work.
Well, here's the irony of that, because it's like, that stuff. And, you know, I think about this in caregiving, because my husband and I were caregiving for 3 years, his grandfather. And it's like all that stuff gets associated with traditional femininity. Mm-hmm. But in this, I feel like in this move for equality, it was like, we can be like men, as opposed to how do we embrace all the roles of society and how we care for each other, which is as important as making money. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a central question.
It ends up falling on women anyway. That's the irony of it. It's like, okay, so like they say that women now, it's like you have to have, having it all means being the traditional wife and household, head of household, as well as having a full career. And the pressure of that, it's like 10 times fold, you know?
Yeah. And I just think that's such a lie and a myth that we can have it all. We really can't. And I don't know why that's not okay. Like, I don't necessarily want it all, right? And so those questions of, like, value based on income and job title, you know? Like, to me, if I really dig down deep and think about what is the most important thing to me, it has been raising my family. And yes, I do also have a lot that I want to contribute to the world, but I only get one chance to raise these kids. And this childhood of theirs is, like, so foundational in who they're going to become in the world, you know? And it's not going to last forever. I feel like I kind of went through my own process and journey in reclaiming some of those values of just really understanding and believing that what I was doing in my home mattered and had value beyond a dollar sign, for sure. And yet at the same time, there's so many messages that I had to constantly battle. Like, I'm just at home. I invested in myself going to college, but now what am I doing with my degree? You know, so there's all that pressure to justify yourself in the world based on, well, what are you earning now?
Yeah.
Instead of, what are you giving? What are you investing?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and also this, well, you talked about identity, you know, and I think it sounds like what this community is about is also wrestling with the larger question around what do we value as a society,
totally.
And what are the roles that we play, and how we kind of limit ourselves to these identities. And it could be like your job title is your identity, or how much money you make is your identity, or the role you play in your family becomes your identity. When so many of us, especially women, but probably people of all genders and backgrounds, are so multifaceted, you know? And it is a very American thing to, it's like, what do you do? This is question number two.
Yes.
In other countries, that's considered rude, you know? So it's
And it's not primary to your identity. What you do is what you do.
It's
not who you are.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's a really big question. What do you do? And then how do you feel about that? How do you feel about how you answer that question? And and what does it, you know, reflect about who you are?
Yeah. So this is what the finishing school is about. It's about calling these questions, having people navigate what does it look like for them, and how can that maybe help to show a new pathway for someone else that's navigating it. And maybe if there are some tricks in the trades and hacks around different aspects of life, also sharing those.
Yeah. I mean, the finishing school, back to the name of the podcast and the idea behind it, was, you know, creating a place where we can share resources and just talk about, I don't want it to be, you know, like, here's how to fold fitted sheets and here's 10 ways you need to organize your closet, because there's already so much of that. But I do want it to feel like girlfriends giving each other their best tips about how to do things well. And I mean, it could be even caring for yourself. It doesn't just have to be like household stuff, you know, but, the reality for me is that I come back to the idea of home and how important it is and how we, our culture, like every home is a unique culture, and the way you do things, the way you spend time together, what you do, the food you make, the, you know, all of the rhythms that go into your home that feel so normal to you are really unique and beautiful to your family. And, I think it's important to be intentional about those things. And I love like talking with other people about how they do life and how they organize their kids' schedules and how they figure out, you know, what to cook for dinner. And I think that there's value in that. Like we can work smarter, not harder, and do it together.
I'm curious if you, what about your childhood really informed the way that you wanted to raise your kids and the household culture you wanted to create? Because it seems to me, I mean, that's something that it's like we get a chance to do it our way. Mm-hmm. And some of it is informed by the ways that it was amazing and wonderful and what we want to pass on. In other ways, it's like, I kind of want to do this different, you know? Mm-hmm. So was that part of what was so important to you about creating the culture you wanted for your household?
Mm, yeah, that's a good question. Well, I definitely think the way our family culture felt, it actually had a huge influence on my photography and what I value and how I shoot. And I, as you know, I'm a documentary family photographer, which means I'm not asking families to fake it. Like, I really want to photograph them, their day in the life, their real moments and real connections, because I think that really matters. And I don't feel like I grew up with a ton of family traditions or a super strong culture where, you know, like, this is what the Wentworths do.
That was my maiden name, Wentworth. Isn't that a good one?
That is a good one.
Yeah.
And I just I have one brother, and which is so funny because, you know, I have four kids, and it just, I think even then, like, growing up with just one sibling felt like
too few.
There's just not enough of us.
Yeah.
So I love having a big family, and I love the chaos and the, you know, there's just always stuff going on, and there's so many dynamics, and, you know, it's crazy and it's hard, but it's great too.
Yeah. Well, that is a lot of your storytelling on Instagram through your work and just personally is about embracing the imperfection.
Yeah, totally.
Of it all.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're so used to seeing curated, beautiful images that we look at our life and our laundry on the couch or our dishes in the sink and our house that isn't like perfectly styled and think, this is deficient.
Yeah.
And for me, when I was starting out with young kids, and before I got into photography, you know, that was a practice for me to learn to see my life differently and to learn to look for the beauty in the mundane and in the, I mean, those days are hard. They're really hard when you're home with little kids and it's kind of like wash and repeat, like same thing, literally 5 times a day, wash and repeat. You know, you're cooking meals, you're cleaning up, you're changing diapers, you're trying to go out for a walk, and then somebody has a meltdown, and then you're doing it again, and then you're like hanging on till nap time. And I mean, it's hard. But there's beauty in that, and it pays off, and it's a season. And so I value documenting that, in part because I don't think that I had a lot of photographs of my own childhood and a really strong sense of like that, I don't know, I guess that unified, like, this is who we are.
Mm.
And I think that through photographs, you can help create that, not just show families that, but like, you know, on our walls, we've got tons of pictures of our family from different moments. And some of them are like big moments, like here we are in Paris. And some of them are like, here you are by the window in this gorgeous light that I love. And it just captures your 11-year-old self, you know? But I think reinforcing that to kids, and there's actually studies that, I don't know where they are, but I've heard that there's studies that show that kids who grow up with pictures of themselves on the walls have a stronger self-esteem and wow. like a more, I know, isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
But think about it. It totally makes sense. Like if you kind of have this narration of your life and like this
pride,
this picture of like, this is who we are yeah. as a family. Like these moments are important. These people are important. I'm important because there I am on the wall.
Yeah. You're know? Captured.
Yeah.
You're documented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, somebody's home.
Tis the imperfection of the podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, well, I think that, you know, I was always drawn to your photography and that's how we first got in contact was I think that's I just right. saw your work around Tacoma or online and it is very honest. It feels very thank honest, you. But also it captures an essence that's more than maybe if I were just to snap a photo with an iPhone, you know, which is yeah. the artistry that you bring to it. And so what I'm hearing you say as part of what this finishing school community is about is really bringing that into three-dimensional community life. It's like embracing the imperfection, talking about the journey, honoring the multitude, the layers of life, and also how it affects us and how we think about ourselves, primarily mm-hmm. as women and as women going through a different season in their journey as through motherhood or through their careers or yeah. both. And that's also part of, there's like an honoring of the imperfection in it all, you know, is
yeah.
really the essence of it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's an act of worship to look for the good and look for the beauty in, mm-hmm. in the everyday and in, you know, not just in spite of the imperfection, but like looking at that and seeing what is beautiful there.
Yeah.
So
that yeah. is amazing.
Well, thank you.
What other questions shall we ask? Can you tell me about what kind of interviews you're going to have on the podcast? Like what people can expect for upcoming episodes?
Yeah, I am really excited because I have so many women that I want to talk to.
Ooh.
I have several women who are actually in this empty nest phase of life. And I want to hear about their experience with going through that process and raising adult kids now and how parenting is so different raising adult kids. Just like, I mean, parenting teenagers is so different than raising little kids. And I have lots of people I want to talk to about that. I want to ask you more questions about like, hey, so how do I figure out what's next and mm-hmm. what questions or exercises or books or resources, you know, how do I find my gift? How do I find my thing in life and, mm-hmm. and, what makes sense for me? I've got so many people I want to talk to, but I'm open to ideas. So if anyone has any thoughts about like, oh, so-and-so would be great for this, you know.
That's awesome.
I'm totally open.
And I know that part of this, it's more than a podcast. It's a conversation and it's also a community that you're cultivating.
Yeah. So, I mean, the gist of it is I really want to talk about, you know, how we as women figure out who we are and how to move forward with that while also being true to our values, and specifically, you know, around motherhood and investing in our families and what could that look like? And so, yeah. you know, part of it might be, hearing from women who have like created businesses and work from home and like have that flexibility. And I know there's like a million options, but, yeah. Kind of figuring out what's right for you and how to weigh time because to be honest, me and a lot of my friends are actually finding for the first time in a really long time that we have energy and space to take care of ourselves. Mm. And so we're doing that and it feels really good.
Yeah.
You know, and then how do you juggle that with like, oh, well maybe I need to be contributing a little bit more financially to my family. And what does that look like? And it's, I think the crux of the problem is after doing such meaningful work as motherhood, you don't just want to go out and get a job at Starbucks. I'm sorry. Like maybe you have to. I realize this is a very privileged conversation to even ask the question like, what do I want to do with my life? I mean, I get that, you know? But I also know like for myself and a lot of my friends, there's a willingness to make sacrifices financially that allows us to ask these questions so that because money isn't the ultimate thing to weigh, you know, it's not the most important thing. There's the freedom of time. There's flexibility. There's, you know, meaning and purpose and all of those things come into factor as well. So mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I think as a person who, doesn't have children yet, but knows I want to have them, this is such an important and missing conversation, because I think, and I'll speak for myself, but I think a lot of other women in my position feel this way. It's intimidating, the idea of crossing that threshold, because you do wonder, like, how much am I going to give up to do that? And am I at the place where I'm ready to make that sacrifice, knowing that it completely upends your world? And yet it being one of probably the most satisfying and worthy, noteworthy, and like fulfilling things that I will ever do in my life.
Right.
So I think there's a bit of mystery around that. I feel like it's a little bit of this thing where it feels like you just close your eyes and jump, and it probably will always feel like that no matter what.
Totally.
And yet to have the conversation with women where it's like, how do you navigate these things? What are the different phases? Because I think kind of like getting married, all people talk about is the wedding and they don't talk about the marriage. It's like, when you talk about having a baby, it's like all people talk about is like the baby shower and like the birthing process. Like, I feel like I know a lot about the birth.
There's a lot more to come.
But
after
about
that.
All that, I remember a cousin of mine, she told me, she's like, you know, I knew what to expect with raising a baby, but now that my kids are teenagers, I was not prepared for this.
Totally.
So there's so many phases that I feel it's like now more than ever, people are talking about things that they never talked about.
Yeah.
And opening the doors to things that used to be private in a way that maybe wasn't necessary. Of course, some things are sacred and private, but maybe some things are conversations that we as women want to and can and should have to feel a little bit more supported in the journey, you know?
Yeah, and to normalize all of these feelings and all of these questions and not to feel alone in it. I think that's super important. And the more we can share stories with each other, you know, I think the more powerful it will be.
Yeah. So. And I do know, you know, a lot of my friends are in the phase of raising very young children, and that no matter how much support they might get from family or friends, that they still feel very lonely, that it can feel like a very isolating thing. And
Absolutely.
That might be that phase, but I think that that is real. That's very real.
It is.
You know,
it for sure is. And it's easier now because there's so many, you know, social media and like online ways to connect, but it's not the same as having an actual physical
community.
Network or neighbors that you can just be like, hey, come over, you know?
Like, yeah.
We don't have that as much anymore with the way our families are so spread out. And so, yeah, I mean, motherhood can be isolating for sure when you have young kids, but even when you have teenagers and you're home all of a sudden, and it's, you know, like if you are in a position like me and a lot of my friends, you are kind of left going, okay, now what? You know, what's everyone else up to?
Yeah.
What do I do now? And my kids still totally need me.
Yeah.
Teenagers need you just as much, just in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in and of itself can be a little bit disorienting because, you know, again, it's like you do have more freedom and more time, but there's still those constraints and there's still those things that you want to be pouring into. Like, for example, with teenagers, you can't be prepared for when you're going to connect with them. You can't just like put a date on the calendar and say like, hey, we're going to go out for coffee and have this like great time to connect. But if you're standing in the kitchen at 10 p.m. one night and your teenager starts talking and, you know, telling you about their day and da da da, guess what? You drop everything and you're engaged, but you can't plan for that. You just kind of have to be around. You have to be available, you know? So
That's interesting.
It's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
And knowing that makes it all the more challenging. Like, I don't want to schedule my days full of work and my weekends. You know, I don't want to take on a ton of weddings in the summer because that's when we have together. And so balancing those different priorities, I guess.
Yep.
But of course, it all comes down to priorities, right? Like, some families may have to have a certain amount of extra income, you know, once their kids are back in school. And again, like I realize this is very privileged to be able to ask these questions, but,
Well, on that subject, you know, there are families are structured really differently. Some people are doing this solo or they're single parenting or, some people don't need a two income household to make ends meet. So I'm curious how people, how those different experiences will show up in the conversation that you're cultivating.
Yeah. And I'm really hoping that I can talk to women, whose experience is totally different than mine and hear their stories and what their challenges are and maybe what they've figured out, you know, how to make it work for them. And
sometimes when we realize how much harder other people have it, it makes what we think is so hard more bearable. You know?
That's true.
And I remember that was a big lesson that I took from traveling, that my husband and I came back from a huge trip, 4 months traveling around the world. And I came back feeling like, you know, not so much burdened by the privilege of my position in living in the United States, having a college education, being able to be, you know, a woman in 2019 where I can just decide to pivot my career whenever I want. Like, yeah. That is something that a lot of people in the world can't do, or even maybe it's generational, like 10, 20, 30, 50 years ago, a woman in my position couldn't do, yeah. You know? So, but I think that instead of feeling hampered by that privilege, it felt like, man, it gives me permission. Like, I get to do this. So why not? Like, why not take advantage of that? And I felt it was kind of empowering to tune into that a little bit, you know, to realize that this privilege is something that I can take advantage of in a way that feels good to me, you know, and hopefully it helps other people too, but not out of an obligation, you know?
Yeah.
There was something about that that was really powerful.
That is. That's freeing.
It's freeing, yeah. And especially because I think as women in, you know, the journey of motherhood, it can feel so isolating. We have no perspective of what our situation is compared to other people's. And to hear the many varied experiences and not putting anybody, you know, better than the other or having to feel bad for what they have that's harder or better. It's just different.
Yep.
And then you can just kind of see it as part of this grand orchestra of experiences that can make you really lean into the imperfection of your own experience even more, like you were saying.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
So I'm so excited about what's to come.
Yeah. Linda, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
This was
awesome. For being on my very first podcast ever.
I am so excited to hear the conversations that are going to come.
Oh, me too.
I think that your approach of just being open to the questions, asking the deep questions, coming from a place of putting value first, like what are our values and how do we live those values, and embracing the imperfection, it's that I think people are really craving this conversation. So
I hope so. Yeah. I feel like they are. But hey, if you're one of my 10 listeners, I hope you enjoyed this podcast.
Yes. And tune in for the next one.
Yep. It's going to be good.
Right. Okay. Signing off. What are we calling this? Is this lightning round or no?
Sure. Lightning round.
Okay, Jess. So you're going to ask these questions to all your guests, but since I'm your interviewer and you're the guest, I get to ask you first. Okay. So
I'm ready.
The first question is, what has been the most surprising thing about motherhood so far?
That's a really easy answer, right? So simple. No. you know, everything. I think what... This is supposed to be lightning round. So yeah, I'm supposed to answer.
No, it could be as long as you want to take.
Oh, gosh. You know, I think the most surprising thing has been how conflicted I feel about so many things in motherhood. Like, on one hand, it's very fulfilling and very meaningful, and I believe it's super important. Probably some of the most important work I will ever do in my life. Probably the most important work I will ever do in my life. Mm. And then on the other hand, there are days when it's like really boring and not fulfilling and not rewarding and super hard, which, I mean, the hard part didn't surprise me at all. But it's
the contrast.
So the feelings are very conflicted. And then there's, you know, there's days where I'm like, okay, nobody needs me. Like, they're all getting too big and independent, and I should just, you know, go off and do my own thing. And then there's other days where I feel exactly the opposite, you know, like I need to double down. I need to be super intentional. I need to be home more. I need to work less. So it's not easy.
It's a yo-yo.
It's a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. What is one thing that you couldn't live without right now?
These right here, my,
what are those?
They're my wireless Beats earphones, headphones. I listen to podcasts and listen to books while I'm doing anything, reading, going grocery shopping. I put these in and listen to books, and that's how I get a lot of quote unquote reading done.
Well, that's a perfect segue to my next question, which is, what is something that you're listening to, reading, or someone that you're following that you're getting a lot of inspiration from right now?
Oh, man. Well, so many things. I'm a huge input person. I love reading. I love listening to stuff. I love, you know, visual input. So there's like a million home decor people that are always inspiring me. I'll have to link to some in the show notes. I don't even know how to do that.
By the way, Jessica's house is very inspiring. And if you haven't seen it, there's a feature of
That's right. There's a blog post.
Yes.
The house Many. Was featured.
Yes.
Yeah, but a book I'm reading right now that actually ties in so great with so many of the questions on these podcasts is called Unfinished Business by Anne Marie Slaughter. And it's all about like women and family and work and how different it is for women than men to, you know, have a career, leave a career for kids, try to come back to a career, just balancing all the things. And
she sounds like a future podcast interview.
She's a big name. She used to be on Hillary Clinton's cabinet.
Oh, wow. So
she's like a big, you know,
dream big
political analyst, foreign policy person. I would feel a little intimidated, but you never know. Her book is great. Check it out.
That's awesome. Okay, last question. So what's something you're giving yourself permission to try out these days?
This podcasting. This podcast. I don't know where it'll go, but I just feel, you know, compelled to jump in and do it and grow some community around it. So I hope everybody enjoys it. And awesome. I want to hear your thoughts and feedback. If you have any, feel free to, I don't know, send me an email.
Yeah. Send you a message on Instagram. Or Facebook.
Yep.
Or
wherever. Not Facebook.
Sorry. No, just Instagram.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. We done?
We're done.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this conversation. If you enjoyed it and know a friend who would love it, please, please, please pass it on. Word of mouth is how we can grow this community. Thanks again.